We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan, and across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Friday morning. We'll get you started off right as we'll talk some tournament as the first day is in the books. And of course, a huge upset as Arizona, a Final Four team for me in my personal bracket, but not for us here on the Boomer and Geo bracket, is out as Buffalo, the Buffalo friggin' Bulls, blow them out last night. Boomer, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. And never to disappoint, right? There's going to be games and teams that are going to get knocked out here. Loyola Chicago,
yeah,
which was a pick on my side of the bracket. So, Al, you can see right there, we got that one right. So if we go down the bracket here, Al, you can actually get the ones that we got wrong. And you can cross them out and put a line through them. So, Greg, why don't you help him out with that?
All right. So you got to get Arizona all the way out there.
All the way out.
Yeah, get Arizona out.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. St. Bonaventure over on this side. They lost. I had them going. That was my side of the bracket.
Right.
I screwed that one up. Get them out of there. Let's see. We had that's pretty good. That's not bad.
Missouri won, right?
Yeah, right.
Gonzaga won. Houston won.
Yeah,
Michigan won.
That's
that
not
was
bad.
Fine.
Look at that.
Hey, how about? Well, that's my side.
Yeah, no, I'm
sorry.
I know. But look,
we got
Rhode Island and Duke there.
Rhode Island's out.
No, they're not.
I mean, they're in. They're in.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I'm sorry.
We got Seton Hall who won, right?
Yep.
Kansas who won. Let's see. Alabama won. So am I missing any? No, Texas Tech won?
Yeah, I think you're looking good.
So basically, it's just St. Bonaventure in Arizona. It's not terrible for us.
Not terrible. Not terrible.
We might be missing one, but I think that's it. Yeah, it's not awful. But how about all the people that thought either one way or the other, this Sean Miller thing in Arizona, it's going to hurt them, or no, they're going to be galvanized by that, and they've got one of the best players in the country, maybe the number one overall pick in the NBA draft, DeAndre Ayton, and then Buffalo goes out there, three ball, just constantly, and then they get blown out. And it was a pretty decent day of tournament action. You had close games all over the place, and the Loyola Chicago game, to me, was the best one. Then you had the 90-year-old nun afterwards, and she's getting interviewed, and that was a lot of fun. But really, the story is Arizona getting knocked out that early, and not just getting knocked out on a buzzer beater, not playing well, getting blown out by Buffalo.
Well, here's the thing about Arizona now. They have no significant incoming recruits. You got two guys in that team, Ayton being one of them, that have already declared for the NBA draft.
Yep.
They, before they even wiped the sweat off of their brow, they were already declaring they can't wait to get out of Arizona. And Sean Miller, the question about him and what his story is. And this could be the last we see Arizona in the tournament for quite some time.
Yeah, right.
Think about it.
Right. And I guess they don't have to vacate any wins, though.
Oh, well, that's the point.
And
I wonder if they were put out there. And, you know, that's a pretty tough bracket when you look at it.
Well, they gave him a 4 seed, and a lot of people thought that was too low for them. And they put him with Virginia, who was the number one overall seed. So they thought that was a punishment. But nobody thought that they were going to go and lose to Buffalo in the first round.
But you
round.
Know what? Actually, it's a good thing. You know, it's a good thing that they're out because they'll no longer become the point of discussion. And when you have a team like Buffalo who does win, you know, that is awesome to me. Having them and Loyola Chicago, you know, move on, that is tremendous. Now, Loyola Chicago will play Tennessee. I have them beating Tennessee, by the way.
Yeah, and by the way, there is one.
Davidson.
Davidson,
you
missed.
Now, think about Davidson. So I'm watching the Knicks because the Knicks are actually winning the game last night, right?
Yeah, for a little bit.
So I'm going back and forth between the Knicks and Davidson and Kentucky. And I kind of lost track because I was like, oh, my God, the Knicks are winning. Let me watch this. Let me see if they can pull this off. And then I went back to the Davidson-Kentucky game. That was after watching the Islanders get hammered last night by the Capitals. You know, I'm going in between all these things. And so I watched the last 6 minutes of the Davidson-Kentucky game.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I got Davidson. They're going to win this game. The game is tight. I think the game was tied when I got to them, back to them. And they hit one shot, I think, in the last 6 minutes. And it was a layup underneath the basket.
Right.
They missed every three-point shot that they attempted in the last 5.5 minutes of that game against Kentucky. And they had open shots.
Kentucky didn't hit a three the entire game.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden you could see, you know, the Kentucky, I would say the athleticism, the youth, the energy that Calipari's team has. That kid Knox hit a couple of huge shots. And the next thing you know, Davidson's out. I mean, it happened quick. I mean, it was like all of a sudden they had like four or five possessions, went down, shot, missed, down, shot, missed, down, shot, missed, could not get an offensive rebound. And Kentucky came back down and that kid knocks it a couple big shots. And before you knew it, Davidson was out of it. And it just happened like, you know, like college basketball tends to do to teams. They just got overwhelmed the last 5 minutes of the game.
And locally, Iona did not have a shot against Duke. Duke just really flexed their muscle against them. But Seton Hall, amazing win against NC State. And they really, really showed that they were the better team in that game, as you have finally a tournament win for that program, those guys who have been there for a while. Now, I don't know if you want to continue to pick them moving on, but Seton Hall needed to win that game because it's been forever since they've won a tournament game. So that was really good to see. And they were in command most of the game.
Well, you have them beating them. You had them beating North Carolina State. That's not an upset. I mean, they were a lower seed or higher seed, I should say.
Right, but still, they hadn't won a tournament game.
But now they're going against Kansas.
Right. And Kansas, by the way, that I was about to give Jerry Recco the biggest props in the world because he said that Penn was going to beat Kansas yesterday on the show, the first 16-1 upset. And they were up 10 at one point late in the first half of that game. Of course, that changed. But I think that spread was like 16, I believe, and it ended up being or maybe 15 and a half, something like that. They ended up covering it by the end, and you thought if you picked Penn, you had that in the bag. But they did not look good, Kansas. So Seton Hall is going up against a vulnerable Kansas team that's not as big, not as athletic as Kansas teams in the years past. But, you know, basically, you lose to Kansas a one seed in the round of 32. You're Seton Hall. You're happy with that as long as you go out there and don't get your doors blown off, and I don't expect that they will.
You know, the interesting thing about the 16-1 seeds since this format has taken place, I think it's 0-134, 16s versus 1s. One of these years is going to happen.
Yeah.
You don't know when it's going to happen, but one of these years it's going to happen. But 0-134, 16s versus 1s. You know, the other interesting thing, and as we're talking about basketball and all this other stuff, you know, I was actually a little bit intrigued by watching the Knick game last night.
Oh, God.
You know, because they had a 13-point lead, and, you know, they were playing out. So here's the deal. When you play a team like the Knicks and you know that they're in tank mode, even though the players and the coaches will never admit it, the mindset is that let's just get the season over, right?
Yeah.
You got to believe that the other team coming in, especially if you're a young team like the 76ers, even though you are a better team than the 76ers, probably takes for granted that you're playing a team like this. Like, in other words, you know, their antennas are not up. You know, they're kind of going through the motions for 3.5 quarters and then all of a sudden kick it in right at the end of the game. And that's where, you know, without Porzingis, the Knicks basically are lost because late in these games, they basically get blown out. If you take a look at the last 5 or 6 minutes of a lot of the games that they play, they basically run out of gas. They lose it. They lose it mentally. They don't hit shots. They stop playing defense. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, the other team's got 118 points. Yeah. Like, how the hell did that happen?
I don't know how you're even a little bit intrigued by anything that has to do with the Knicks.
Because I'm a Knick fan. I mean, sure, I am a Knick fan, but I
but their future, nothing about their future is on that court right now. I mean, seriously. There's not a thing about their future that's on that court. Unless you believe that Frank Ntilikina is going to turn into a player. And I'm sorry, my cynicism level is way up on him. I don't want to say I want to give up on a teenager because that's basically what he is. But I mean, I've seen nothing from the guy. Absolutely nothing. I was being kind early on and saying, oh, maybe he'll develop it as some defensive player. Maybe he develops a shot and fine, whatever. No, I'm sorry. I mean, the guy's a nothing player. He's a total bust in my eyes. So there's nothing on that court to me You want to tell me that there's anybody else, a young player that you see, Luke Kornet, anybody out there that's a part of their future? So you could say, I watch the games because you're a fan. Great. And I give you all the props in the world that you're able to do that. For me, I need to see at least something that's on that court that gives me a little bit of hope. And that's why when the Porzingis injury happened, all the hope went away. Now they're just a bunch of guys masquerading as a basketball team. The coach isn't going to be here. Most of these players aren't going to be here. You hear in the media how they don't give any effort. Why in the hell would I turn that basketball game on if I'm a Knicks fan? Honestly.
Yeah. then comes the other story that, you know, this team has been practicing hard. This team has
great.
Been that. Well, the point being is that the coaching staff is, I think, is punishing the team, basically. When you're out practicing as much as they are, and this is one of the things that Hornacek has been talking about, and also Barack Obama's brother-in-law, Craig Robinson's talking about how they have to work hard, how they have to develop the players and this, that, and the other thing. And during the NFL, during the NBA season, it's hard to develop young players. It's hard to develop a culture. You got to, and they're trying to do that. They're trying to do that on the practice court, and they're trying to build whatever there is to build. And even Hornacek said it. He goes, one of these days, I don't know when, I'm paraphrasing, you know, maybe it will show. It will show that the guys are actually practicing hard. They're trying to work. I just think what happens to this team, because since Porzingis is not there, right? So in the back of their minds, they're probably thinking, we don't have much of a chance anyway. The season is going by the wayside. We've lost 17 of our last 18. I think they've lost 9 or 8 in a row now. So it's just natural for them to have a confidence issue when the game is on the line.
Yeah, sure. But once again, this is not a team that I want to see win. This is not a team I care about winning. And this is not a team that I'm watching for any sort of hope for the future, because the players that the Knicks will have on their team, if they ever turn it around in our lifetime, are not in the uniform as we speak. We talk about basketball, the style of basketball, things that drive us nuts with basketball. I want to point out, going back to the Loyola Chicago victory over Miami, that they're down 1, 8 seconds to go. They got to go the length of the floor in order to score. They do have a timeout, and the coach does what? Lets the guys play. He doesn't call the timeout and get the whiteboard out and you go here and you go here and then sitting around a powwow and then we're having a commercial break and this and that. They boom, down the floor. It wasn't even a great look because this guy's firing up that three, but he nailed it and that was awesome entertainment. Now, would I have been crushing that team if he misses that shot? No, I would not. This is not a second guess. I love the fact that when you are an underdog, you're an 11 seed, even though they were a trendy upset pick, you let those guys go down there and go win the game and don't stop the game at that point and let the other team, by the way, figure out a way to stop you. So, you know, all the things that we don't like about basketball, you don't like all the three-pointers, all the timeouts, no defense, whatever. I wanted to point that out yesterday, that was cool, that the coach just said, go and play. Go down there and win it. I have a timeout in my back pocket. Go win the friggin' game, and they did.
Well, you know, that's the madness of March Madness. The other side of it is that Miami now goes home, Arizona goes home, big schools go home, and small schools move on. And if you're able to hit shots like they hit yesterday for Loyola Chicago, as opposed to Davidson last night, you know, this is how these upstart young teams that people have never heard of can actually go on and win a game.
Yep.
And it's almost, I did a sports minute coming up here. There is a, you know, North Carolina, right?
Yep.
So they're playing Lipscomb.
Yeah, they
so are. The Lipscomb coach goes, look, you know, you're not going to be confused about our team and their team. There's not one player on my team that would ever make their team.
Yeah.
And so they asked the Lipscomb guard, you know, what's this going to be like? He goes, man, this is going to be like up-tempo craziness. And it's going to be a game where they're just going to free flow and go out there and play. They got nothing to lose, right?
Yeah.
So you don't want to overcoach. You don't want to, you know, make it any more, I think, nerve-wracking for the players than it already is going to be because of who they're playing. They know who they're playing. They know what's going on. Now it's just a question is, if can they go out there for 40 minutes, and just have one of those magical games? It's unlikely, but that's the mindset that these kids have going into these games when they are significant underdogs.
Yeah, right, and there's really no shot. That's the problem with the tournament when everybody's wrapped up in the bracket is you're playing both sides of the fence because you love the upsets because it's great for a sports fan, but you don't like it because then your bracket ends up getting busted because of a team like Arizona. And am I a bad person for wanting Arizona to advance just because it was going to put everybody in a tough spot? Now, there's still Michigan State that could happen with,
right.
But I really wanted to see those teams go as far as possible just to see how it was covered. I wanted to see how people were going to treat
all
of that.
I'm glad they're not a part of it, and I'm glad that the team that supposedly cheated is not moving on, and that they got beat by a lesser team in Buffalo. Right?
Yeah.
I love that fact, and I love that, and I can only hope that it happens to Michigan State too. I can only hope that they're done and they're over with.
Yeah.
Because I don't want that to be the discussion. I want the discussion to be about the Loyola Chicago's, the Buffaloes, the schools like that that nobody expects anything from. And they're not the ones that have all the advantages when it comes to recruiting. That's the beauty of what happened last night.
Right.
It's the beauty of it because it just goes to show you. And Len Elmore, former University of Maryland guy, was on a speaking tour the other day, and I did a sports minute about what he was talking about, and he was saying this. The whole discussion was around the one and dones. So the one and dones are obviously the kids who all these coaches want to come play for them. The incentive is to pay the kid to get him there for that 1 year so you can win a national championship with him. He goes, take a look at all the one and dones that Calipari has. How many championships has he won since he's had all these one and dones? I think it's one.
Yeah.
So it's not always the biggest advantage. Sometimes when a team has, let's say 7 or 8 guys that are juniors and seniors together, and they've been together for 4 to 3 years.
Like Loyola Chicago.
Right, all of a sudden, that is a team that has a distinct advantage because the players know each other.
Well, that's been the parity. That's what's driven parity in college basketball these days, is you got these mid-major schools. The guys are not going to the NBA. They stick around 4 years, and they're a team. I mean, Seton Hall's got a lot of guys who have been around for several years, and they finally put it together. But it's so ironic. Isn't it ironic that Arizona gets in trouble for recruiting a kid out of the Bahamas who's going to be the number one overall pick in the draft, most likely? $100,000 is the accusation to get this kid out of the Bahamas in recruiting so they can go and win or get to a Final Four so Sean Miller can keep his job. And what happens? And also Alonzo Trier, same thing. You've got Buffalo beating the bricks
awesome.
Off
that,
of you.
That is great.
The irony
that
of
is
that
awesome.
Is just insane. So a lot of people are going to be smirking, thinking about Arizona this morning, unless you had them going to the Final Four like I did. Just getting started on Boomer and Geo this morning, this Friday morning. We got more football to talk about, and that Jets offer, apparently, Boomer, I know you alluded to it the other day, but it was a hell of a lot more money for Kirk Cousins that he turned down. I wonder why he turned that money down and went to the Minnesota Vikings.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.